Hi, got a contest. I need someone who can find this text and get your Bibles ready. The first one to get to it, would you just raise your hand and start reading? Okay, the text I need, and I need it quickly, is Hezekiah 2:10. Well, I've won a lot of theological arguments in my life with Hezekiah 2:10, one of the greatest texts ever. Since there's no book, I'm glad nobody fell for it this morning. But I was just checking the temperature. All right, heaven. I know the lesson's on law, but we're going to talk about heaven. Okay, when I was young, I had the privilege of teaching a class over at the Hanley Church. And I've told this story many times, but I like it, so tell again. And we were discussing heaven and what one could do in heaven. And as a young teacher, I was probably 26, lady said, "Well, I tell you one thing, if there's no water skiing in heaven, I don't want to be there." And of course, I immediately retorted with the fact, "I don't think you have anything to worry about." So she took it one way, I meant it the other way. But I would like to ask you, what is your concept of what heaven is going to be like? What do you think that you're going to be doing in heaven for many, 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 and many, many, many years? What is your concept? Have you ever thought about it?
Well, first of all, there's not going to be time there like what we know time on earth.
Okay. All right. So what does that mean?
Well, we have these clocks.
Okay. So is heaven going to then be like a post office where there are no clocks? Have y'all ever noticed that? There are no clocks by government regulation in post offices. So you don't sit there and say, "I've been standing in line for 15 minutes." See, so there are no clocks. So is heaven going to be like that? No clocks? What else do you think you're going to do in heaven? What's your concept? If I ask if everybody would like to be there, I'd imagine every hand would go up. So what's your concept of heaven going to be like? What are you going to do? Yes?
Whatever we can come to the conclusion, how it's going to be heaven, probably not going to be like that. Because God prepared for us something that our mind cannot imagine.
Okay.
And I know that we're going to have that chance to speak to Jesus directly, like walk into the garden and then talk to your past life. And then whatever question we have, we're going to ask Him. He's going to answer to us. And I believe that Jesus is going to come one to this tree. He said, "Peter, this tree, this fruit, I made specially for you because I know you like this. You're going to like this fruit." There are a lot of things going to happen that our earthly mind with so little brain, how much we have now according to His brain, cannot figure out. But I believe it's going to be something very beautiful.
Okay, all right. So you see kind of a personal touch to heaven. Okay, what else? What are you all thinking? Yes, Rick.
Well, when I was younger, it was always about walking with the lions and the elephants and sort of strolling around in the meadows. But as I grow older, well, then it's more complex. And I think that it is important to imagine heaven, even as finite as my imagination is, because if not, then we sort of lose sight of God's plan for us.
Okay.
I think He wants us to think about that, and He wants us to imagine. And I imagine that a very people-filled, wonderful, community, and just immeasurable beauty.
Okay, I appreciate it. So, yes.
I actually thought a lot about heaven, and I first of all see me pain free.
Okay.
Much taller. I mean, I really see. No, I really haven't thought about this. The best day I ever had is I love nature, so it's going to be absolutely a beautiful nature with no bugs. really hate bugs.
Okay.
But in addition to that, it will be all the relationships with my loved ones, my family.
Okay.
And I love meeting new people. I'm going to have a gazillion new people to meet. But I'll get to see my Lord and Savior. I mean, really, if I have any questions, I can ask him anything he's going to answer and tell me exactly the real answers.
Okay.
I mean, I really see a place that I'm going to live and be there, and I'm going to be in a perfect body.
Okay. Gerald?
When I thought about heaven, you know, heaven's going to be here on earth, but this is just a speck in God's universe. Now, we've spent thousands of years now trying to figure out God and his greatness. Imagine when we had his whole universe.
Okay.
To be in that universe. And besides just getting to know God one-to-one, personally, face-to-face, talking with him, getting the answers, those kinds of things. But to study and to look at his great universe and talk with others that have never been in a situation before.
Okay. Who else? Yes.
It's going to be fun.
Fun. Okay.
I can just picture myself with all the animals and the deer, and I'm going to be able to hug them and
okay.
just feed them out of my hand.
Okay. I can see you wanting to do that. Yes, Tommy.
I think there's going to be a big party. Says we're going to have a huge celebration.
Okay.
Lots of singing, lots of worship, lots
okay.
of praise.
All right. All right. Who else? Yes.
I'm thinking about God is love.
Okay.
So in heaven, we will be in the presence of God. And we have this creature that that's what the Bible talks about.
Okay.
So it's his nature. And I'm also looking at a glimpse of the garden before the fall, when God was communing with man. Everything was perfect.
Okay. So you see perfection. Anybody else before we move on? Yes.
When I'm young, I like to learn to play piano, so I never make it. So I hopefully gonna make it there.
Okay. So you hope there's a piano teacher in heaven that can help you learn piano. Okay. And I like that. Yes, sir.
I believe that we're going to worship and praise God and enjoy all the animals, but I believe that we will have some kind of physical activity because we have to take care.
What kind of physical activity?
I already
Okay, got to check that physical activity out now. I think we started meddling a little bit. So, in all seriousness, and I don't see in a million and a half years me enjoying gardening. So I don't know why I think if I went to heaven that gardening would be fun for me. I just don't see it, so I have no interest in it. And a new creation. Going to come back to that one today. That's a good one. But anyway, anybody else? Yes. Pardon? Well, I like to delegate. So is it okay if I have Sue work in my garden in heaven? Providing she makes it. All right. Oh, okay. Anybody else before we move on? Yes. Yes.
The good news is that will not be a required course.
Absolutely. See, that's the good news. Now, yes.
I just want to see looks about my mansion in heaven and walking on the golden pathway to my mansion.
Okay. So his whole house is important. I can understand that. Okay. Now, Par, go ahead.
There is going to be a great dining.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's going to be many of them. I like Tommy's and party. I think there's going to be a lot of celebrations. Now, what do you see your relationship in heaven with Jesus? Mike.
I
You're pretty quiet most of the time, so we're going to get you involved in this. Well, thank you. What do you see in heaven? Your relationship with Jesus.
One-on-one.
Okay, I liked it. Can you see that?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to have the opportunity to sit down and talk with Jesus. I think you're going to have the opportunity to ask questions. I think you're going to have the opportunity to rediscuss some things that's happened in your life. I believe that's one of the concepts of heaven. That's very well. And we're going to ask him questions on how he felt. And we're going to feel very, very good. There's going to be a class of people there that doesn't even know who Jesus is. Now, that's kind of an amazing thought for a lot of us. And on that class, he's going to take them and explain from eternity what happened in life. So that says a lot about the way God admits people into heaven. We feel comfortable with Jesus. So let me ask you the next question. What do you see as your relationship with God the Father?
Exactly the same.
What else? Yes.
Well, I had a good relationship with my earthly daddy.
Okay.
And I can see that with my heavenly father, it'll be similar, but so much better.
Okay. All right. How about the rest of you?
When Leroy said exactly the same, does he mean it's going to be exactly the same relationship as with Jesus? Is that what he meant?
Well, let's ask him. What did you mean?
He said,
when you said exactly the same, do you mean that the relationship's going to be exactly the same as with Jesus?
Well, Jesus said when he was on this earth, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Okay.
It's got to be exactly the same.
Okay. All right. What else do you find? What's your feelings when I say it's easy to see ourselves with Jesus, but how about God the Father? What do you think your relationship will be in heaven with God the Father? What's your thinking?
I'm freaked out.
Freak out?
Yeah.
I love honesty. How are you doing, Helene? Just saw you. How are you? Good. Good to see you. What do you mean you just freaked out?
Well, it's easy, you know, for us to relate to Jesus. He was on earth and he says he understands our pain and everything. And we kind of relate to him. And, you know, we spend time with him. We read about him. He did this and he did that. Okay, yes, he said, you know, nobody could come to the Father though through me. And he said, you know, like he said, who's seen me sees the Father. But still, I think we develop a kind of a closer relationship with Jesus than with Father, because I see him as something, you know, kind of, he's kind of in charge of Jesus. That's how I relate a little bit, because Jesus said we can't directly come to the Father. We have to have somebody in the middle, meddling between us and the Father. So in my mind, it makes him a little bit more, still loving, still merciful, graceful, but a little bit more scarier.
Okay. Let me tell you, if you all would be honest, somewhere in your life have you not felt the same? Because I think that's one of the greatest lies that Satan has painted, is exactly what this young lady says. We see Jesus as very approachable. We do not normally, with our picture of God the Father, see Him as approachable. Now, let me ask a question. I only ask fair questions. In heaven, where do you think Jesus will be? Question's probably not clear, so let me...
Next to the Father.
All the time? Who said what? Who said that?
Out wandering.
Absolutely. Where was Jesus when he was on this earth? Out wandering. Had very few sermons at the pulpit. Had very few sermons in the temple. When he did, most of them didn't come off very good. He was out wandering.
Wandering has a connotation of not knowing where he was going.
Okay.
Very purposeful.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Roaming, is that a better word?
Mingling.
Okay. Mingling. Okay. Yeah, good. Appreciate that, Richard. So it's easy to see Jesus mingling with people in heaven. Now, where do we picture God in heaven? What? When you think of God in heaven, what's the instant thing that you come up with? What? Sitting on a throne. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you think that is an actual picture of God? Before you say yes or no, think about it. Is that an actual picture of God? Is God... Hush up, Leroy. When I want final answers, I'll point to you. Until I get to a final answer, be quiet. Do you think that God is sitting on a throne today as we talk? Pardon? That's exactly what we think. Gotta know. That's what we think. We'll use this young lady. She's the only honest one that can really speak. Do you picture him today sitting on a throne?
I still see him up there.
Thank you. Okay, sitting on a throne. Yes.
But Jesus said that he was working, Father, always working.
Okay, I like that. What else?
I think.
Let me come to Peggy, then I'll come to you. Yes?
I think of him walking in the garden.
God or Jesus?
God.
Okay, all right, good.
I was going to compare to the text we read the other time, Exodus 24, I think it's the last verse, is verse 17 to 18, where Moses is going up to the mountain, God is coming down, and to the Israelites, all they see is this scary fire.
Okay.
But Moses is walking in.
Yes.
Because he's developing.
Yes.
He's developed a relationship with God.
Yes.
To him, he wasn't seeing that. And so it is among us today. We sitting somewhere in the throne with all this fire, because that's the depiction. Since I was growing up as a kid, every time God is pointed at, you see some light, some, you know, not kind of related to Christ, where he's more human.
Okay. All right. Yes.
On numerous occasions, to me in the Bible, I remember reading that God is sitting on the throne.
Absolutely. I can read you. You know,
it doesn't sound scary to me. It just sounds like that's where he is.
Okay.
I think I will have a lot more questions for God than I will for Jesus.
Okay.
I mean, how did he watch his son die?
Okay.
Not stopping.
Absolutely. All right.
How did he manage to do this or that, you know, and not when he had the power to?
Okay. All right. How many, when we come to judgment in the Bible, and boy, I wanted to teach 2 weeks ago on judgment, but wasn't able to. When we come to judgment in the Bible, how does the Bible portray judgment being done? By what means?
Books being opened.
Pardon?
The books.
Okay. Can we all relate to that? You open up a book. Okay? Now, has anybody in the last 5 years taken accounting? Okay, good. Okay. Do you still in accounting write in by hand the debit and the credits in a little journal, little book?
It's all on computer.
It's all on computer. Now, if God was writing about judgment today, how do you think He would describe the judgment being done by? Pardon? The iPads are open. Do you think He would say the books are open? I mean, honestly, do you think He would still say the books are open? No. It sounds ridiculous. John Perryman used to say, man, if God's still working on books in the judgment, we need to send Bill Gates up there. There's a better way of describing how judgment is going to be done. And I guarantee you, if this world lasts 1,000 years from now, there will be something that will make computers look absolutely stupid. Am I correct? Okay, now, it was important for the children of Israel to understand the majesty of God. And so, back in those days, what was the highest form of ruling and being majestic?
Kings.
Kings, and what did kings sit on?
Thrones.
So if you were going to show the majesty of God in the language that people would understand, where would you put Him?
On a throne.
On a throne.
We still do that today in courts. Judges sit up their papers.
That's exactly right. Again, my opinion, one of the greatest misjustice paintings that Satan makes is God sitting on a throne, watching to see who does what and have somebody write it down in a book so that He can keep track. This is the Creator of the universe needing someone to write something in a book to keep track. So what do you see your relationship with God in heaven? Do you see yourself comfortable sitting down with Jesus in a garden chit-chatting? Do you see yourself comfortable with the Father sitting in a garden chit-chatting? Some do and some don't. Who, I'll come to you in just a second, John. Who would want to spend eternity with somebody that you're totally uncomfortable with? If you want to drive people nuts, put them in a room for 5 hours with somebody they're totally uncomfortable with. That is hell. Probably the only sermon that I preach that's worth anything, per se, is the one on Abba. The picture of God, the Father. The words that Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Daddy, Daddy. He literally called for Daddy, His Daddy. The Greek word Abba in the Aramaic is the word picture, is a daddy with his children in the middle of the floor, unwrapping presents, laughing, joking, tumbling, and having a fantastic time. That is the premier name for the Father, Daddy. And I want you to get the picture that God in heaven, who we see as on a throne, who we see as semi-uncomfortable with, as we see totally having to be reverent every time we're around Him, and there certainly are going to be times when that happens, but on a day-to-day basis, He's no different than Jesus Christ. He will sit in the floor. He will unwrap your presents. He will laugh. He will tumble. And He will have a good time with Him. We love Jesus because He came to us We fear God because we look at Him as a majestic being sitting on a throne, and every time we come into His presence, we bow down, we fall on the floor, and we say, "Holy, holy, holy," and that's our relationship with Him. So no wonder we have a tendency to fear Him. God Himself, as the Father, would have come to this earth. God Himself would have went to the cross. They chose, and I'm going to ask that question when I get there, why? But they chose for the Son to come. But every act that Jesus did, the Father would have gladly have done absolutely the same thing. For you see, the question was never about the character of Jesus. The question was always about the character of the Father. And if you're an attorney, the first thing you're taught is he who represents himself has a fool for an attorney. And so God sent the Son, His Son, who all through said, "If you've seen me, the Father's just like Him." So please work on that picture that yes, we're going to bow. Yes, we're going to throw our crowns. Yes, we're going throughout eternity say to Jesus, I won't even get to the Holy Spirit, we'll say to Jesus and we'll say to the Father, "Thank you. I just want to tell you one more time, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you that you prepared a way for me to be here." But we're not going to spend eternity, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." You ever done something for somebody and they just keep bringing it up all the time? You know, after a while you say, "Get over it." I don't want God and the Son, when they see Steve coming, little late, you know, we're already into the main course of the meal, and then Steve comes in and wants to know what the appetizer is, you know. I don't want them to say, "Uh-oh, here comes that boring guy that's just going to thank you," as soon as we comes up to him, he's going to fall down on the ground and say, "Thank you, thank you. My, thank you, you bet. What a bore." What do you see as the greatest thing we're going to be able to do in heaven? Now, I know this is subjunctive, but I think that the logic is there. What do you see as the greatest thing that you're going to have the opportunity to do in heaven? Worship? Absolutely. What else? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, there are people that think when we get to heaven, everything that's unhappy, everything that's happened is going to be forgotten. And so when Isaiah walks around and he comes around the corner and there's a good King Manasseh who had Isaiah killed by sawing him in half, Isaiah's going to say, "You look familiar. But I just really can't place who you are." And Manasseh says, "You know, you look familiar, but it seemed like there was something I did, but I just don't remember." I mean, isn't that ludicrous? We're going to open up the Bible in heaven and there's going to be torn out pages? Ludicrous. To me, the greatest thing we do when we get to heaven, when we meet Jesus and we talk to the apostles and we talk to Adam and we do all of these things, and after a while, Sue's got the garden planted so I can come home now and be happy. See, when all that's done, we're going to have the privilege of going to the universe. And we're going to be rock stars. We're going to be superstars. because they're dying for us to come and tell us, what did God do in your life that got you here? And are we going to be a person that says, you know, I don't really remember? No. We're going to have the privilege of telling them, this is what I was like. And I met Jesus Christ. I met the Father. And it changed me. And this is what I am like now. Because you see, the rest of the universe has never gone through what our planet has gone through. They never rejected God. They had questions. They had concerns. But they never rejected. They trusted God. And now we get to go to the universe as the representatives of what God can do in a life and tell them our magnificent story. I was lost in sin. I was drugged down. I was held captive. But I met God. And this is what He did in my life. And they'll revel throughout eternity again how great and loving and caring that God is. It's easy to be in love with Jesus. As a little child, we're taught, dear Jesus, please get over the picture because God's just like Him. Now, the lesson this morning is on law. And as always, I follow the quarterly. Very good. Hey, this is better than the one I did on Trinity. Yes.
Thank you very much for that insight. And I totally agree because when we were lost in sin, it was the Father who came to the garden.
Yes.
I wonder why they didn't send the Son to Adam and Eve.
Always.
And he said that it was his custom that in the cool of the day,
yes,
he would walk and visit.
Yes. It's what it's going to be like in heaven. He's going to come. He's going to visit. You know, the interesting thing in this good brother mentioned at Sinai, you see, the reason that people won't be in heaven that choose not to be there, and by the way, they choose not to be there, is when they're in the presence of God, what is their life like? Absolute hell. God never changes. It's us. So at Sinai, they trembled, they quavered, they got scared, they ran. And what did Moses do? Walked right in there. Why? God was his friend. Yes?
I guess the most modern picture that I saw that was a picture of John F. Kennedy sitting at his desk. Oval Office and little John coming from underneath there, and that's what you said, the most powerful man in the world, you know, leader in the world, and this little child comes out like there's nothing. And we're seeing that with God is
absolutely,
but he wants us to be like little John. I'm just playing with that.
That's exactly, it's a beautiful picture, exactly what he wants. Does not take away our thankfulness, does not take away our reverence, does not take away our appreciation. There's a time for that. I had, as I've said many, many times, a beautiful close relationship with my daddy. But there was times that he was my daddy. There was times, most of it, when he was my friend. I never stopped respecting him. Had nothing to do. But on a day-to-day basis, we were friends. We were talking, especially as I grew older. My teenagers, I don't think we were quite as close of friends. Yes?
What about Holy Spirit?
I'm not going to get into Him today. I can't say it. But you want the bottom answer? No difference.
But we, our church, another church, they all speak God, Jesus, not too many.
That's right.
About Holy Spirit.
That's right.
I was wondering why that. He's God. He's sent him by Jesus.
That's right.
Holy Spirit is big in person, you know.
Nothing wrong with starting a prayer with "Dear Holy Spirit." I'm going to do it in 5 minutes. But you're exactly right. Now let's get to the law of the subject today, because Sue has to put a title on the CD that we're recording, and she wants to put "law" because that's the way Sue's mind works. She doesn't want to put "law." Nothing was said about it on the CD. See? So "law." Now, we're in heaven, right? And we're comfortable with God, and we're comfortable with the Father, right? And we're comfortable with the Holy Spirit, right? And we're happy, right?
Yeah.
What law is there going to be in heaven?
None.
Love. Law of love.
Law of love? None. Well, how about the Ten Commandments?
Love.
No, not the Ten Commandments.
Are you positive?
Ten Commandments is summed up in love.
Well, that's a nice statement. And that is correct statement. Do you think on your wall, in your mansion, with your wife already doing the garden, that there's going to be Ten Commandments on the wall?
No.
Why not?
Because
the Ten Commandments...
Unnecessary.
Got an unnecessary?
I'll take us back to the discussion when you read Galatians 3. And if you have the time, you can read Galatians 3. I think it's from 16 going downwards. And it tells us when, 400 after 430 years, when the law was introduced. And the reason why they were introduced is because of our transgression.
Okay.
So the law was added.
Okay.
And so we know that all this was pointing to the coming of the promise, which is Christ.
Okay.
And it's not like when Christ came, the law now become irrelevant. But that's why Christ himself said that this is the greatest commandment I give unto thee. Love God and love your
okay.
neighbor. God is love, and with God, then we don't have it.
Okay. Steve.
Well, I love how Rob puts it when he talks about the commandments is a picture of what we would become.
Absolutely.
But when we get to heaven and we become that,
that's right.
There's no need to tell you, don't...
No use. What, don't have to wake up. Do what? What'd he say? Take him off your email list. Yes.
It'll be written in your heart, so you won't have to put it on the wall.
Yeah, it'll be natural. It's not the way God intended it from the very beginning. It'll be natural. You don't have to get up every morning and read a rule that says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not do this. It becomes natural. That's what God said at Sinai. If you will follow me, this is what you will become. There was no law in heaven when sin arose. In fact, the angels were amazed that there was even a need to put a law down. And there will be no law at the end, because there will be no need. We are not governed by law in heaven, and sin still arose, and we won't need one at the end. Why? Because we're there, because we chose to follow and allow God to work in our lives. And He says, the more you get to know me, the more you become like me. And when we get there, we don't have to ever be reminded, thou shalt not kill. And by the way, as Jesus goes through eternity with nail prints in His hand, do you know why? Do you know why? If a question ever comes up in your mind 500 million years from now, you know, I just wonder, you look at those prints, You listen to the stories and you never wonder because you know the answer for eternity. You see, the only question on our test to get to heaven is, what is the main thing in your life? What are you dedicated to? If that's Jesus Christ, and then it's automatically reflected on how we treat God and how we treat our fellow man. It says simply, come on in. And for eternity, when questions arise, and there's nothing wrong with questions, when concerns arise, we see the final proof. Can God be trusted? The answer is yes. He gave everything, including His Son, to prove His trustworthy. I think we need to spend more time on heaven. Not for the things we do, but for the graciousness of the Father who got us there. Dear Holy Spirit, we often forget who You are. But when Jesus left this earth, He said to the disciples, I have great news for you, because I'm bringing a paraclete. I'm bringing an advocate. I'm bringing a person who's going to walk beside you step by step in your Christian experience. So, Holy Spirit, we're thankful that Your message is, if you've seen Me working, then you've seen Jesus working, and you've seen the Father working. After all, we all love You and want You to spend eternity with the three of us. All what heaven will be, and we look forward to it, not for the things that we do, but the graciousness that You have spent and prepared eternity for us to be with You. For this we're thankful. Amen.